That white cabinet was holding the things that they're standing up, just so you know, Rob.
Yes. At some point, I'm going to have to get back to people and say, who loaned us what weight? I thought I'd remember, but.
Hey, Carol, can you hear me?
What did you give us? No, she's at three. She went to one, to two, to three. So she.
Testing, one, two, three.
She's been at three. So it might be soon that she.
She might not be at the screen. I'm not sure.
To answer your question tonight, she went out and walked alone. She went on Felt Court, came out, went up to Joy Court, came out, came back down to Seminole, went in Seminole and out, and back down to Shell out by herself. So she was feeling really good
Thank
at
you.
The end of last week because we.
Thank you.
we go up.
Good until I gave you the song. Down to the bottom, down to the bottom.
That way, and she's back to the distance she used to walk when she did her walking way back when. So.
Testing.
Just recently? Oh, I'm sorry.
Hey there, Mike. This is what this is about, our discussion tonight. Those three things, right? Sidewalk gate, the cameras on the back, and the gatehouse. Yeah, yeah. And the other one is speaker.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll do it, Judy.
So I'll start it off if you want to step in and say anything at all.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's Doug's concrete, the same people that
it's just you and I.
Our name is Doug.
Everybody else left and sold their home.
Doug,
when they did the
removal that cost? Is that the same company? Okay. Because it says Doug's Concrete. I don't remember a Doug's Concrete you talked about, but it's Douglas.
To do a road.
Thank you. Albert, can you hear me? Or Carol, if you're there. Testing.
I can hear you, dear.
Okay, thank you. Now you can mute yourself again.
I know what's going to happen. Yeah. Did you see that? I couldn't believe it, but now it reminds me of my wife, my mom, in the last 6 months. What he's doing right now. Electricity is an I was looking at it. 12. What was it? I know it was there somewhere.
I'd rather see you
right.
Hey, they cut that tree down. So I said to my wife when she came back from grocery shopping, you didn't have any trouble looking down the road? She said, right. Why?
Time will tell, I guess.
You didn't notice it.
My daughter.
They had a really good course on me. Selfish. No.
How many?
Hello.
Hello.
She said, I'm the one who's
they want a different dog park.
Testing.
The guy has his two houses down from us.
Yeah. I'm surprised. I mean,
still, gold is here.
May I remind you to disarm your cell phones?
I don't think they're on.
Hello?
Hello.
It's on.
A reminder to disarm your cell phones, please. We don't need any other interruptions. I'd like to call the meeting to order of the Port Malabar Holiday Park Mobile Home Park Recreation District on November 8th, 2021. Join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, this is a special month in the USA. In it, we celebrate Armistice Day, which ended World War I. Since 1918, it has been renamed as Veterans Day to honor those who served in the military on many occasions. We thank you for the men and women who responded to the call to serve their country. Every family has been touched by these battles through the years. During this month, we also celebrate the holiday of Thanksgiving, a time for family to gather together and remember the many ways you have been blessed as individuals, as well as our collective presence as a nation. God has blessed us. You provide for us abundantly, and in this abundance, let us remember to share with others. There are so many causes that can use our help and our generosity. Let us be your hands in the place we live. Lord, be with us in our meeting this evening. Help us to use our good judgment as we make decisions for the benefit of the park residents. Help us to work together and live together as your people. Hear us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Rise for the pledge. I'll ask the secretary to call the roll.
Jack Emmerich.
Here.
Carol Summers.
Present.
Cheryl Moore.
Here.
Keith Richer.
Here.
Paul Goblick.
Here.
Gary Vincent.
Here.
Karen Allen.
Absent.
Richard Brooks.
Here.
Terry Steimer.
Here.
And Cherie Morris is here joining us. Thank you.
Several announcements to share. One item is a letter that was addressed to the Board of Trustees. I, Dennis Pietka, do hereby resign my position as a newly elected board member, effective immediately. It is with deep regret that I must take this action, but I feel it is best due to my current health issues. Respectfully, Dennis Pietka. He came to my door on Saturday and showed me why he couldn't continue. He had taken a fall. He's here, looks perfectly fine. But as you look at the top of his head, you can see 22 staples under that cap that he's wearing and a black eye. So I think he is wise in choosing to deal with his health at this point in his life. So we thank you for your attempt at service, Dennis, and we wish you well. That leads to the next announcement that in the new year, after the new board is installed and their first meeting shows up, there will be two vacant seats on the board of directors. One might assume, but we don't get very far in assuming, but I'll say it anyway. We assume that Gary will take a look at one of the vacant seats and join a new board, but we'll see what happens in all that. But there will be two seats available in January. If people are interested, they can turn in an application showing their qualifications and why they're interested in serving on the board. And these can be held in the office until the new board is installed and can take action on the request. But if people are interested, now's the time. Another announcement, the deed restrictions, I don't know if they've reached everybody, and I don't know about our far-flung neighbors to the north, if Canadian Goose has flown up there with the mail or not, But everybody else in the area should be pretty much covered by the mailing that went out. And again, thanks to the committee for endless hours, a labor of love, and we'll see what the results will be. And again, a reminder that I made at last month's or last previous meeting that we will not hear any issues with ACC at the board meeting. The only way they will be talked about at the board meeting is if you have tried to adjudicate your issue with the ACC and don't feel resolved, then you have the option of writing up your concern and address it to the Board of Trustees for a special hearing. So we will not just openly air ACC issues tonight and in any subsequent meeting for that matter. ACC meets next Tuesday? Okay, 9:30. So if you have concerns, show up for the ACC meeting.
Next Tuesday meaning next week, not...
Not tomorrow.
Not tomorrow.
Next week.
Who didn't turn off their phone?
Who didn't do that? Okay, that takes care of announcements that I have.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Do we need to take action on Mr. Pietka's resignation letter, or is it because he's, because he's not legally on the board as of yet, does it just go into the records?
I think it should just go into the records.
Thank you, sir.
What is going on?
Can you please place it on vibrate only?
Put it on airplane mode.
I'm looking for a motion to accept the minutes of 10/25/2021.
I'd like to make a motion that we accept the minutes of 10/25/2021, please.
I second it.
Any questions? Any comments? Any public comment? All right, board, all in favor of accepting the minutes, raise your right hand. 8-0.
Yep. Right.
Passed 8-0. Okay, under old business, we have a report from Cherie about the gate arm and the warranty issue.
Most of the materials for the gate are here. We're waiting for one more item. Unfortunately, it hasn't come in yet, so I'm hoping by the middle of this week it will be here and we'll get it in by Friday. That's the best I can do with the mailing system. As you all well know, everything is backed up, so that's all we have for that. I left it in the office. There's a year warranty on the labor. Do you have yours? There's a year warranty on the labor.
90 days.
Pardon? 90 days on the labor.
Electrical and mechanical parts come with a 2-year warranty. The box frame and cover have a 10-year warranty. That came from?
CDA.
CDA. That didn't get printed on my sheet. Okay. So I think that answers the question that we're covered with warranty, guarantee kind of stuff. Under new business.
There was another piece of that, Shireen, that they had questioned at the last meeting, ma'am. They had questioned whether or not there would be a service contract or if one could be obtained for this new gate.
We're going to negotiate the prices. They haven't submitted a bid in on that yet, but I think it would be a good idea. Even though it's new, we still have the other gate as well. So I think maybe just a general maintenance plan would be in our best interest.
Thank you.
Under new business, gatehouse report from the one lonely member, Terry.
I don't know if you all remember, but a year ago, a gatehouse committee was formed with three or four members, actually four members at the time. And we've been kicking this ideas around. The idea was, one, to keep the people in the gatehouse safe, and two, to provide for whatever we think would be required to make the development safe, so that people won't be able to break in or walk in or drive in or whatever, that we wouldn't be aware of it. And that way we could kind of stay on top of this safety issue. And if there were things stolen, you know, we would prevent it. Okay, so as time proceeded from COVID getting started at the same time and doing the sidewalks as a 4-month job, one of our chairman at the time, I can't remember, Bob? Yeah, sure. He presented options to you, which were ambitious, which included adding another street to provide for those persons who wanted to get inside the development and who were not residents. So it turned out that that would be over $150,000. It wasn't a popular move. And he sold and left because of that. I'm just kidding you. So that wasn't approved. No, there was no more consideration given to that. So as time progressed, and it's just been probably a month ago, I hooked up with one of our new residents. It's Mike Johnson, and he and I got together. This is Mike. He and I got together and discussed what options could be more reasonable, which would provide some relief for us. So we're here tonight talking to you about, we have three options. If you could discuss these three options, make a decision whether you want us to get prices for it, whether you want to even raise the issue at all, whether you want to disband the committee, just some form of direction from you all. Yes. I'm sorry? No, that's what I'm saying, is that I'm putting it to you to discuss it and let us know if you want us to get any prices. That's the first step on these three items. Mm-mm. Okay, that was done. We're done with that. Yeah. Now, these three options are a sidewalk gate. I don't know how popular that still is, but it was popular at some point in time. A speaker to put in the middle of the lanes so that the gate attendant can be contacted and contact the person in the car as a non-resident from the gatehouse. Talk to them directly. He doesn't have to leave the gatehouse to do that. And cameras in the back of the guard shack. Bob presented this fence system because if you know that low wall in the front as you come up Holiday Park Drive towards the development, kind of a decorative wall, right? Well, it's low. Anybody could just kind of jump over it at night and come into the park and rip us off. So Bob suggested a large fence to go behind the wall, about 10 feet tall, and nobody could jump over it. That's the idea of that. Well, I don't think that floated because it's unsightly, to be honest with you. That low wall, if you got a 10-foot fence behind it, it looks more like a prison than it does a development. So then the other idea is to put cameras on the back of the gatehouse, pointing in that direction. So that is an option you could discuss, and you could see the whoever on the camera in the gatehouse. He could research back further and see who maybe stole something. Well, let's check the camera on the back of the gatehouse and see if anything's come on the camera. So that's what we're presenting. I want to turn it over to Mike because he has some information which might be you might enjoy.
Mike Johnson, 166 Holiday Park. And I hope they don't abolish the gate committee because I'm the only guy on it. But there were a number of reports that we paid to have done. Contractors to come out and review. There were land surveys done, those types of things. So I went through, Terry asked me to review all those reports, going over the last several years and bring out some just a little focus on the gate itself, because really we are a gated community. I mean, that's one of the key things about our community, that just not anybody can come on. So just some kind of fun facts here. And I used to have to do this when I managed security for government buildings and over my career. But anyway, there's just over 700 residences here. Fun fact, Jeopardy, 1,200 approximately vehicles when all the people from up north are here. There's an average of about half houses have one vehicle. The other half have two vehicles. On a normal day, over 1,000 vehicles enter and leave the installation. And that's kind of a real credit to our gate people that many people come and go. So I think we have to kind of balance a little bit the security that we want with maybe being able to accept sometimes a little bit of a delay at the gate when a contractor comes up there and the guard has to check with them to make sure that they have proper paperwork. And in the reports, that was the number one thing, that people didn't call in advance and let the guard know that these people were coming. So if everyone could remember to do that, that would just kind of reduce the stacking, so to speak, at the gate just a little bit. Probably the peak times, and these people have done studies, peak times for inbound traffic was 7 to 11 on a weekday. And part of that's probably due to our fine work of our ACC committee, that there's a lot of contractors coming on the installation now to do work on residences, to clean them up, to power wash them, and those kinds of things. I think that looking at all these proposals that were put out there, Terry talked about three different options. I think the current one that Terry's mentioning leverages technology for the best, for the most, for the least amount of money. I don't know if you've ever gone to Canada and they got the camera. The guard in the booth is seeing your license plate up here. He's collecting all the information. You may not know that, but I think that's the direction we're going here. In this report, they had talked to the city of Palm Bay. They had got all kinds of engineering reports and paid for consultants to look at new and big ideas, but it was very, very costly. And so I think I got it covered, unless there's some questions relative to those reports. Any questions? That's correct.
Well, you'd look at all three of them and you know, make it. I'm sorry? All three of them. Yeah, all three of them. I'm favoring the sidewalk gate because it was popular to the residents at the time we were talking about it. And I had no reason to, you know, kick it to the curb if you all want that, because the people use it by. So now you have to understand that, you know, there has to be some sort of access to the whatever lock or whatever to the gate. A button has to be pushed, or somebody has to know a combination, or something to get the gate open if it is installed. People ride down there outside of the park to CVS and stuff on their bicycles, and they ought to be able to do that. So it may present an issue, a problem. I'm certainly for the speaker because I'd like to see the gatekeeper stay in there. I mean, my God, and if all he's got to do is talk to the people who come up there and discuss what their needs are, where they're going. We've already got cameras now to get their tag number. So all we'll need is where they're going and who are going to see, that kind of thing. And the cameras out back, because I think that's kind of an area that is not covered. No. This is in back of the gatehouse. You know, that low wall in the front, it will see that from the back of the gatehouse. That's the reason for that. Okay. So,
question.
I just think these are items that question, need to be
Terry.
Discussed. Yes.
Yeah. You were talking about a speaker situation where the guard can speak to the people in the vehicle or at the gate.
Yes.
Is there going to be a way the people can respond back?
Yeah. Now, there may be a button you push or whatever.
The gate, I can see.
Yeah.
But what about if they're in their car? Have they? I think you almost need that somehow. I just was wondering how that would be put in.
Keith, I think my thinking is that I'm sure there are other options with a speaker system, but my mind is simple is better. So that you're going to have to roll your window down, and you're going to have to reach out and push the button on the speaker to call the person in the gatehouse.
Okay, so there will be a speaker put at the person coming in too, so they can have a conversation and do not have to leave the guardhouse. Now, what would, I'm sure this will be later because they give them a paper right now to go back, but now it'll probably be something every time they come, they'll have to talk to them about it.
Anybody who's a non-resident.
Yeah. I mean, if they stay in the guardhouse, they can't give them that piece of paper for the day.
You mean a pass?
Yeah.
Well, they could just talk to them and say, I need a pass. You know, then they'll have to come out.
Oh, okay.
They'll have to come out. Yeah. Yeah, right.
Okay, I'm because with the speaker system, we were trying to keep him in the house, but there are such situations he will have to come out.
Yes. Okay.
Do contractors get a pass in their vehicle?
Some contractors do, yes. Our sidewalk people all got passes.
Okay.
Individually.
One more question. I know the golf carts aren't supposed to be on the streets and stuff, but they do ride golf carts down and back. Will the gate stop that, or are we accommodating, or we don't know yet?
You know, that's a point for a discussion because, to be honest,
okay,
with you,
that's all
we
I want.
Can't apparently keep the carts from going down that sidewalk, from leaving the property legally. So there's going to have some sort of access button or code or something if we do that, provided to them.
So you're thinking of providing them an access one way or another if we put up a gate, pedestrian gate.
Well, Keith, something.
Okay.
Something will have to be done. I'm not familiar with it enough until I go research it by pricing it out.
And I really wasn't expecting. Available. I wasn't really expecting a concrete answer. I'm just. Are we thinking about that?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, I think that concludes everything that I had in the report. Probably the number one safety concern was the guards having to cross outbound traffic to check on, you know, visitors. And now we have a gate there that stops the cars from exiting. So that's a big safety improvement. That was in all the reports.
I think I
got it covered unless there's a question from the board. Yes, sir.
Can we this is all blended together. I really don't understand it.
Right.
Can we get something in writing so we can look at it, so we can understand the three? You're saying there's three different items. It doesn't have to be much, but it should be enough so we can say.
Yeah, we can work something out, type something up like
Thank
that.
Thank you. I'd appreciate it.
To answer Terry's question, yeah, could you pursue all three right now with a summary and a little drawing?
I could. Joanne.
Joanne, you know the protocol. Please come to the mic.
Joanne Gagan, 241 Berry Court. When you started your presentation, you said something about we've paid for reports. You and Terry?
No.
Well, you,
Mom.
No. You're Prior talking about him. The past yeah. surveys.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, those. Yeah. Yeah.
They weren't very popular.
No, but they were done. Yes. But I think that's what the trustees are saying. They have really nothing in writing to. They're listening, but quite frankly, it's a little difficult to follow some of it. They need something in writing, and perhaps some of those reports should be included in what you give them.
I have no problem, John. As a matter of fact, what we were wanted tonight was a direction. What do you want us to do next? You want us to
Terry,
stop
this? Terry, I think these were submitted at one point when the committee was working on them.
Yes.
So what we'll do is we'll resubmit them. The prices may change because of the time frame, but all of these three things were presented to the board and they got a packet on each of them. So we just really need to redistribute the packets, right?
No, actually we need to pursue it a little bit further to get pricing and what is available.
So do we need a motion to allow the committee?
No, I don't think so.
Or just go and get.
If somebody said, Terry, Mike, go do it. Which means go get pricing and go find out all the information you can get and present it to us at the next board meeting.
Right. So why don't you do that?
Because I was afraid that somebody might say, I've pretty much had enough of you. Yeah.
But
I say go for it.
But Terry, you will there are three different proposals here, but you're talking about three separate things that can be combined or left separate or whatever.
Yes.
And give us can we get a drawing of yes. what your proposal would look like so we have an understanding more of, other than just saying behind something or whatever.
Yes.
We can actually have a drawing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That no would problem. Be great. That'd be great.
One moment. Come on up here. One thing I would like to say is that we have, it's not in any organized fashion, but you remember we worked on a wish list. What would we like to see? I think this gets thrown in there and see where in the world we give this priority. But I think we need to keep in mind the promise made when we ask you to brainstorm here at a meeting, and we had, I don't know, 30 some items. So I think we need to take a careful look at all of that to see where it fits. And one of the bits of information would be the cost factor, et cetera, et cetera. Okay.
Hi, it's Kate Buckley, 385 Holiday Park. I just want to add that I've been here back from Canada for 3 weeks, and the gate has been broken since I got here, which wasn't a worry to me because we've got guys on the gate. Except that I called in two people to the gate, and those two people came through the gate, were not stopped by the gate man sitting. They just drove through, both of them. So we have no security right now. And it really does need to be addressed. I don't know how. But I'm just telling you right now, that happened twice in the last 3 days. That's all I wanted to say.
Thank you.
Thank you. Committee, you have direction. Proceed. Come back with some data that we can act on as a board. Okay?
Would that be in 2 weeks or at the first Do you need 2 weeks or a month?
Do we care when it comes to us? Or?
No, I as soon as possible. I don't think they want to drag their feet, but I'm not going to set a date that it has to be here in 2 weeks.
Okay. I'll tell you what, if we can't get it in time for the next meeting, I could make Cherie aware of it, and she could pass that on. So
I can just put in the minutes that you'll have. When you have it, you'll present it to the board.
10-4.
You know, at every drive-through, you don't have to push a button. You can talk. They can hear you. So voice-activated two-way communication is the way we should go. We shouldn't have to push a button. But also, maybe the guards need to pull the contractor and tell them, pull over and let these residents lining up behind you through. I'll be out in a minute. If they don't get called in advance, instead of holding all the residents up, make them wait.
Okay.
That's what they usually do.
I think that's a good idea. The problem is where you're going to pull them over at. We really don't have the space to line up a bunch of vehicles.
No.
I think it would cause more trouble than it would be good.
One though. Vehicle, same way they do with real estate agents. They have them pull over on the right and wait for the client they're going to show a place to. So there's room for that.
Okay.
We'd really have to look at that carefully, I think.
It's going on now with real estate agents showing homes in here, so we can just follow that.
All right, moving on to the next item of new business. I would like to preface this by saying that the motivation came from an email that Jamie Welch sent to Cherie about dog park ideas. Dog park ideas. And she sent some suggestions that she had found for reference for us to look at. I would say that there is an abundance of information about dog parks. Most people have a computer, and all you need to do is Google pros and cons of dog parks, and you'll find more information than you can handle. Trust me. There are several that I just copied just to have as reference so that you can see a variety of issues with them. One thing that I shared with Keith earlier, because he was showing me a list of the dog parks in our area, I said, since the first dog park in Berkeley, California opened in 1979, there are more than 774 dog parks in just the United States alone. Okay. Somebody said, I think there'd be more. But anyway, I don't know how they are defined or identified. But anyway, I thought some of this information I found was pretty helpful. One of the things that I thought was sort of interesting was the response to people when you say about your dog on a leash and what kind of temperament, and everybody thinks they have the best dog in the world and he's not going to bite you, that sort of thing. So there is all sorts of evidence, and it talks about a variety of things you should be aware of in your dog park. And one suggestion I found in here was that if a dog park would be a favorable addition to Holiday Park, they suggest, and these are authors of these articles, that you really should have a committee. They're talking about like a city, like in Palm Bay, there should be a city committee that would be volunteers who would look after the park.
Yeah.
And what Diane just said out of order, I still heard it, was that people don't even pick up after their dogs now. You know, so I think we have a hot issue, and I want to continue my preface by saying, let's be respectful. We are open to listening to all opinions and ideas. Let's not get rowdy when somebody makes a comment we don't appreciate. Let's be civil. So, first of all, I'll open it to the trustees. Do they have any initial comments based on this email from Jamie Welch?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, Rick?
And I don't like to keep referring back to the previous park we lived in. We put a dog park
in. We can't hear you. Talk really close, Richard.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Previous park we lived in, we put a dog park in there. And those people that didn't pick up the dog doo-doo without the park did not pick up the dog doo-doo. And we even put bags there for them. What did help is we built little shacks and put a trash can in around every green area where when you picked it up, you no longer had to carry it. Or like I saw down in that back park a week ago, somebody had thrown a bag in there with dog poop in it. And you know where that's going to end up? Right in that pump. So my suggestion is, okay, I'm opposed to a dog park. I don't believe they're necessary, but I'll go along with what you folks want. I think you ought to put these little things out. You put a garbage can in it. Maintenance goes around once a week and picks up the bags and does it. Or one of you folks. I don't have a dog. I'm not volunteering. So
let's not forget, we don't react. Just listen. If you want to react, come up to the microphone. Let's be courteous. All right, let's finish up with any board comments.
I'm done.
Okay.
Yeah. Are we talking about a dog park other than what we already have, which where there's signage to pick up after the dogs, spread diseases and stuff? Are we talking about a fenced-in area where they would unleash the dogs?
Yep.
That's who's going to police that? Certainly not the residents. You know, if dogs start biting each other, you know, I think we're asking for trouble. To say nothing of the mess. And I also think that the residents that aren't picking up after their dogs, there might need to be something done about that.
Gotta catch them.
You know, I mean, I don't know what the answer is, but a resident told me she was shooting basketball outside here and her ball fell in it. She had to stop playing basketball, shooting hoops. She had no way of cleaning it off and go home upset. Now, that's not fair for somebody trying to get a little exercise, you know, dealing with somebody's dog's mess that was left behind. Every resident knows they got to pick up after their dog. It shouldn't be a problem to impose on anybody. So we might need to be a little stricter with that in whatever way anybody has any ideas. I mean, I'm meticulous about it because I just don't want to, you know, be stupid. Because that's what the people are that are not picking up after themselves. They're very inconsiderate and they're imposing on every other resident that might walk by or whatever. So we need to tighten up on that if it's a problem.
Anybody else?
Yep. It is a problem. And the problem falls with us as residents. The problem falls with us. We have allowed people to bring dogs in that are large, and we can't do anything about it because the ADA says you can have service dogs. Unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of the people who have these service dogs need them for a reason.
They are incapable of caring and taking care of themselves. We have residents that walk their dogs from their golf carts and never get off the golf cart. And I know this one person can walk, but she allows her dog to crap wherever it wants to. Pardon my terminology. We have another lady who walks her dog from her little stroller. This lady can't walk, but she cannot get off her cart to clean up her dog mess. They are allowed to just poop wherever they want to. I've seen it happen multiple times. I've seen piles of dog poop the size of human messes on the street. And I can't imagine the size of dog that came from, but we allow these dogs to come into our park because we have to, if they are ADA compliant. We also have residents who have little tiny dogs. I have two dogs myself, and I wouldn't give the world for them. They're wonderful dogs. They're not the greatest, but they're wonderful. You never see me walk my dog without a bag of poop in my hand, sometimes two and three. But we do have residents that do this, and the responsibility falls with them as owners. The responsibility falls with all of us, unfortunately, because we have to deal with the ADA compliant people that live in our park. We can't control that. It's their right to have their dog for their health purposes. And unfortunately, we have to live with it. It is a problem. Putting in a dog park is not going to fix the problem. All a dog park would do is to give you an area for your dog to play safely, and that's it. But then again, if we have people taking dogs in there, they're not going to clean up. It's no longer safe. It's a bug infested, horrible rat infested infestation, whatever you want to call it. I like to think that my dogs could play someplace safely, but if we don't clean up after ourselves now, what makes us think that we're going to clean up a dog park or a play area? It is an issue, but it all falls with us as residents because we've allowed it to happen.
All right, thank you. Next.
I would like to correct something. Under ADA ruling, if they do not pick up after their dogs, they can lose their certification because ADA has very strict rules. It is a service dog, and it's supposed to be trained, and you are supposed to pick up it. It's the same that you got to have them licensed. You got to have them vaccinated. Everything you have to do with your dog, they have to do with theirs.
I feel that way too. I believe that wholeheartedly. That's why I brought that up. That when you've got people that cannot physically get off of a cart and walk or bend over to clean it up, they can't do it. But they've got the right to that dog because they need that dog for their care.
Anybody else at the trustee table?
Well, maybe we need to let all the residents know that they can freely report these violators to the office. Don't feel bad about it. You're looking out for everybody. If someone was running around here dropping their gun and it was going off now and then again, we'd have no problem reporting it. Now, it isn't that serious, but still, let them feel comfortable to report the few violators, because I do think it's a few. And it sits for a week or two. So, you know, it might seem like more, but same people over and over. And maybe the disabled that can't get off the cart or something needs to be made aware that if you're going to take your dog out, you got to have a way to pick up after it. We're aware of your situation. Maybe they can get somebody to help them or something.
Just a thought, as I was walking on my usual route out in the park, I saw somebody carrying one of these little sets that you can sweep up the stuff. Could suggest that to people that are walking on the cart, you know, walking their dogs, driving their cart, that they could do that easily enough. Maybe they haven't thought of that or didn't see it. I said maybe they haven't thought of that or hadn't seen that.
Or stay on their property. That was suggested.
Okay. Any other comments from up here?
Yes, please, Sherry Moore. One is, this was supposed to be a dog park conversation, not dog poop. And I thought we had determined at a previous meeting, if you don't have a picture of the offender and the dog doing the deed, we can't talk about it. People were reporting things to the office. There's no proof. If you don't have proof, there's nothing we can do. So that's where it's left. And if you have a neighbor that you know doesn't pick it up, maybe you need to say nicely, this needs to get done. How can we help you make it happen? Neighbor helping neighbor. So, are we talking dog parks?
Dog yes. Park.
Okay.
Yes. Okay.
Jamie Welch, 1003 Moonlight Court. I actually did not find anybody interested in having a dog park. I'm sorry I ever brought it up.
So, oh, no, don't.
There is one right down the street that is available. It's not very far away, and we won't have to worry about anything. So, never mind.
Thank you for the information.
That's okay.
Jamie, please never feel sorry about bringing something up, because if you don't bring ideas to us, we never have a direction to move forward on your behalf. Thank you.
Did you share the address, Jamie, where this dog park is?
East or west?
West.
Up towards Emerson.
West. On Malabar.
I have a list here that I can post, and this will give you an idea of where they all are. They're all within a 4-mile radius of the park.
It has a 4.5 star rating.
Oh. Becky Ernest, 205 Burrell Circle. This is the fourth time that this has been brought up. I thank you, Jamie, for taking it away or whatever. The people in the park don't want a dog park. It's filthy. It's bacteria. It's just.
And it's a responsibility.
And nobody wants the responsibility. They don't clean up after them anyway.
Other thoughts?
John Bonacera, 370 Holiday Park. I've been in this park a long time. This is probably the fourth or the fifth, like Becky said. This keeps coming up. This board and previous boards has always shut it down. Why it keeps coming up, I will never know. But they're talking about putting it next to my house. But something you should know, that is a drainage swale. During our violent rains in the summer, let them mumble. If they don't like what I say, put it next to their house. As the water comes up, it's going to pick up all the dog crap. As far as settling it, there was somebody, I've seen most of the people that come over there. I know most of them, they all pick it up. The other day we had somebody come that I didn't know. She took off, left the stuff there. I picked it up, went over to her house, and put it on her seat. I'm done.
I've done that too, John.
Just go on. Okay.
Any other line up here?
I'm going to ask a stupid question then. Since this has come up multiple times and has kind of been shot down multiple times, do we need to actually make a motion to put it into our record somehow that there will not be a dog park inside the park?
I don't.
You don't think so? It just keeps coming up.
There's people change. And if people want to bring it up to the board and ask again, who knows what the residents will want at that time? I think to say it, why put it in the rules? It can it could happen someday. So maybe.
Nat Regas, 409 Holiday. One of the issues also, I'm a pet owner. I pick up. I love my pets, but this is no place for a pet, any kind of dog park, because I personally would not want 25 dogs 50 feet away from my home barking all day long. And no matter where you would address it, even down the road, there is no place in this park that is not close by homes. No place. And that would be a nuisance, a noise nuisance. So a dog park in here, anywhere in the park, is going to be a noise nuisance to the residents that live close to it. So that should end it completely, because it's not good. All you need is a little Cocker Spaniel to go in there, or a Yorkie, and somebody who has a Dalmatian who's territorial. And then you have a dog fight. You can't mix those type of dogs together. You really can't.
I think we pretty much know the park does not want a dog park. Am I correct in saying that?
Yes.
Can we end this conversation?
Diane.
Diane Russo, 1158 Center Lane. Where I lived before, I know it's an original expense, but they had two or three days where they paid to have every single dog DNA. And then if you didn't come on those certain days, you had to pay for the kit yourself. And once this was all done, they've caught several people and the fine was $250. So it is an additional expense to do it originally, but in the end, you just get that poop, you send it out, and you know exactly whose dog it is.
Oh, wow. All right. I think we are.
One more. Can you reach the microphone?
I don't know. Pull it down, yes.
Good.
Hello.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay. I just have a comment to make. Where I lived.
You need to state your name and address first.
Oh,
please.
I'm sorry. Liz Garcia, 1056 Wood Court. Where I lived before, there was a dog park. And at the time, I didn't have a dog, but I used to go to watch them because I really love dogs. However, the last time that I went to watch the dogs, two dogs got into it and the owners got into it and it became a rumble. So that's something that you have to think about too. You know, don't mess with my dog. I will kill you.
In this day and age, you can't avoid thinking of some of those issues. Mm-hmm. I think the sense that we have is that we're not interested. There are lots of cons that are listed in here. The kind of things that happen with dog owners is very real, according to this. And one of the better articles came from the Association of Professional Dog Trainers. And it talked about all the issues and the things you want to avoid. But I don't think we need to worry about that. This can go in the recycle bin till it comes up again.
It can go in the poop sack.
District Manager's Report.
Here we go.
Okay, to start off with, Terry has already reported, and I have here that on Monday, the concrete strip at the entrance to the gate will be removed, which it has, and they have poured the concrete, so we're going to wait for that to cure before we remove the cones. O'Galley Electric has erected the new pole to accommodate the new electrical boxes. This will service the fountain and pump at the pond and power the LED sign. Spectrum has attached their service lines to the new pole as well. We apologize for the hour inconvenience at the gatehouse on Thursday while they were transitioning the phone lines. Young Wycom Services will be here, which they were here today, to shoot the conduit underneath the roadway to the LED sign. Once this is done, O'Galley Electric will tie the lines in, and Kendall's signs should come right in right after, and that should complete the job. And then I don't know how many folks might be interested, but they will have a little seminar to teach the folks on how this operates and so forth. The aeration system for the back pond has been installed. Lake Doctors did install the light at the front fountain. However, I believe the wattage is too weak, so they're going to come back out and change that. The last payment for the bocce courts has been mailed with the deductions of $59.99 for a set of bocce balls. I did have the attorney look at their terms and agreement in case we had to litigate. So I charged him back for that, which is $300. And I have Bush Co., who did the front of the clubhouse. He's just going to come out and assess the area between the courts to see what would be Florida friendly and get that cleaned up. Once that's done, then we can put the fence back in place. And of course, any decisions or anything will be submitted to the Board of Trustees for their approval. I'm meeting with him. I was supposed to meet with him at 4 p.m. today. We've changed it to 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. I am in constant contact with CDA Gate Company. We're waiting for more components for the entrance gate. This has been extremely difficult for the gate staff and a burden on all residents as well. The proposed arrival time is this Tuesday, and I just want to thank everyone for their patience. 244 Holiday Park Boulevard. Lloyd Glasser's home is under a sales contract. Lloyd Glasser is the gentleman that had his grandchildren living here for several months, and we were in litigation. Well, he's not going to be able to sell that house until he pays us back all of our attorney's fees. We have first lien on the property. Consequently, we have purchased his tax certificate. So he is going to have to pay the park back, all the back taxes, and the sale will not be final until we are paid every penny. The house listed for $100,000. I'm not lying.
Wow.
Okay, to date, 1042 and 340 Holiday Park Boulevard have demo contracts pending still with the ACC board. It is not the ACC board that's holding them up. I believe it's the contractor. A new contract has been submitted for 171 Holiday Park Boulevard, which is a Palm Bay owned home. 441 Holiday Park Boulevard and 1083 Greenview both have been rye seeded. So they haven't put down sod. However, the seed hopefully will make it look a little bit better and keep the dust from flying around. 437 has been vacated. The squatters have left. When I tell you it's disgusting, I don't have words to explain the filth and how disgusting the interior. I have pictures. I have videos. I mean, I managed Section 8 fair housing all over the state of Florida. Trust me, this is in the top five. It is that bad. I have been talking to the bank, and they have sent out a crew. They came out twice. And I don't really care what they do with the inside. We want the outside cleaned up ASAP. And hopefully within the next week or two, I will be presenting this to the board. Hopefully the bank will say, you know what? Sure. Give us $2,000. It's yours. And then the board of trustees will be able to decide what to do, which I'm sure we're going to be demolishing it. But right now we're in contact with the bank to solidify the rest of this. The cabinets for the lobby reception area will be in this week. They contacted Mr. Lanier's and we're hoping they'll be in by Wednesday. And we're certainly hoping that the countertops will follow. I contacted FDOT, Florida Department of Transportation, regarding the sound wall painting 95. And this is horrible. They have now turned it over to the city of Palm Bay. This is not good. Getting the city, well, we all know it. We've had dealings with them at some point or another. So needless to say, I've been trying to call them for over a week and a half. I will be relentless. I want some answers. At the same time, we're going to get all these fire hydrants painted as well. The ballots and the deed restrictions have been mailed. We had a few glitches, but they're out there. We have received a lot. And I'm happy to report that very few have been returned with wrong addresses. So that's a really good thing. We have started our seasonal flower planting at the entrance to the park and at the clubhouse by the pool. Our theme for the holiday is red and white. And they look so pretty. And we hope to continue on with that. I do have a few other things that I want to mention that kind of came up over the weekend on Friday and also today. I have pictures here of rotten pumpkins, of rotten vegetation, vegetables. You can see them all. We just put in an aeration system in the back pond. Really, folks, don't feed the animals. This is disgraceful. And this happened this weekend. I mean, you know, we're trying to keep the fish alive. We're trying to keep it a beautiful place. How in the world are we going to do it with this? This is disgusting. We know who did it. Do I want to embarrass them? Not today. All right, not today. And well, you can, anyway, these are pictures. And, you know, it's not good. And we all know who it is.
No, I don't.
No, we don't.
No, I don't.
Well, excuse me. You know who it is. It's Kathy Centner. Okay, and I don't mind saying the name, okay? I said it. And if she wants to come up and talk to me about it, she can. I've talked to her dozens of times. And you as the park residents should be fed up with it as well. And that's the one thing that I have made adamant. If you're going to say something, put your name to it. I just did. Now, I have another issue which is very sensitive, and I don't like even having to bring this up. I don't like doing this. This is horrible. I'm not going to read the letter that I wrote to the board. If you want to read it, you can come and get it from the board. We have a resident here who has been following our staff members, who has admittedly tried to sabotage them, not just one staff, but two. His reply to me was, I pay their salary, I can do whatever I want. And my reply was, no, that's not protocol. If you have a problem with staff, any of you, you can come to me as the DM. If I can't settle it or you don't feel comfortable talking to me, you go to the Board of Trustees. You write a letter. You spill it out at a board meeting. Don't follow the staff around and harass them and call them names and accuse them of doing things that they don't do. And that's happened to two of my staff members now. And what am I going to do? Have a walkout? Wayne, are you happy about that? What did you see? You saw him sleeping for 3 hours in his truck? I think not. What gives you the right to call my staff idiots? In front of them. I've got proof.
Cherie. Excuse me!
Hey, don't do that around me, buddy.
Excuse me.
Get the roll, Jack.
That gives you no right to do what you did.
Get out.
Stop. Stop.
I totally apologize for this. I knew this might happen, but it had to be said, and I want the truth to be told, and I did not say anything. This has been going on for several weeks, if not months. And the reason that I'm able to come forward right now is I have witnesses. I have eyewitnesses from a board member. I have eyewitnesses from residents. And I have no choice but to share this with you. It was one person against another, and I didn't want to take one person's word over another, but now I have other people. And if this continues, we will be forced to call the authorities in here. Okay, I'm not going to have my staff afraid and they can't do their job. And like I said, I'm not going to read the letter. You can read it online. I think enough was said. Thank you.
Any questions or comments for the manager's report?
Yeah, I want to make a comment about, I'll back up a little just because that's just incredible what I just witnessed and read. And he is lucky he doesn't do that in front of me, I'll tell you right now. But item 6 and 7, just doing something about the derelict properties, the squatters and whatnot, I got to commend Cherie. That is one of the most difficult things to do and to get through courts and everything else and protect all the residents from these rundown tax delinquent, HOA fee delinquent owners. And you've done quite a job and you've gotten a lot of them out of here. Some new homes are coming in worth untold amounts of money. I can't even estimate the total figure. But this park is better off with what you're doing. And it's one of the most difficult things to accomplish. It's very difficult to get to the point where you've got a new home in compared with a delinquent property. And please feel free to come to the board or whatever you got to do to look out for the staff, because they don't work for him. They work for all of us. Your staff works for all of us, as do you. And we don't want any of our employees mistreated, belittled, name called, or whatever. I got a thing against bullies.
Thank you.
If I may, pardon me, Cherie, I think it ought to be made very clear to him that the next time the police will be called, send him a letter. That would be my suggestion.
Cherie, I have a question on the homes, the home without water. You think I know the address by now.
437.
You'd said the cleaners had been out twice. Have they? They haven't picked
they
up.
They haven't done
stuff?
Anything.
Okay. We're not paying for these cleaners to come out, correct? No. The bank sent them out to give them an estimate and an evaluation on the condition of the properties. I have already sent them the videos, all the pictures of the inside and out.
Okay.
So they did clean up. Our Republic picked up all the street trash. Now we're waiting for
what's under the
carport
and the porch is okay.
Yes.
Is there still is there electricity on in that house or not?
There were lights on.
Yes, as far as I know.
Still okay.
Yeah. It was lights.
And that's curious because they moved out and
maybe she can't get it in her name or something. I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know. No, the electricity is in her name. So I would assume wherever she moved, she had to have power. But then again, she lived there for 2 years without water.
Yeah. So, okay.
So we don't know. Okay. I'm just praying that the power stays on until they get the stuff out of the refrigerator and the freezer.
That's what I was afraid of. You had said that, you know. Okay.
Okay. Any other comments for Cherie?
Yes, I do have one more. That yellow house with that grape that they took out, that great big cactus. I thought that stuff all had to go also.
It does.
Okay.
He was here Friday. Which day did it rain all day?
Friday.
Friday. Okay. He was here Friday and he was told he did put the ryegrass seed down, but he is aware that he has to get that out of there as well.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Diane.
One of the more, Diane Bell, 293 Burrell Circle. One of Cherie's previous manager's report, she mentions that she was going to contact the city about reducing the prices of the remaining homes that hadn't sold, owned by Palm Bay. And I noticed last night on the multiple listing service that most of the prices had been dropped by at least $5,000 for the remaining.
Awesome. 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 Thank you.
The
Palm Bay homes, and that is with the ACC's help as well, with them getting their violation letters. And I contacted them as well, and Diane had checked the MLS listings last night, and they've dropped the homes by approximately $5,000 per lot.
I need to say something, Jack. Jack was out of the room when some conversation was going on. I asked Wayne Adams to leave the meeting. There was some back and forth. I don't know who else he was speaking to. His was the only voice I heard, so he was the only one I spoke to. But I think that if something like that were to happen again, there would be more than one person asked to leave the room. I did not know who he was yelling at or who was making the conversations. I mean, Cherie was one of them making the report, but there may have been something going on back there that I did not witness. But yes, he was very disrespectful. And I wanted Jack to know what had happened.
I want to say a statement. I'm not going to apologize for Wayne's actions. He's his own person. I don't condone what he said or the way he acted this evening. But again, he is his own person. What I'd like to say is that I don't think that anyone in the park has the right to follow or harass any of our employees. Our employees do work for the park, but they also work for all of us. So I think we need to be respectful of them. But if we see something abnormal, it is our responsibility to report it to the district manager. Then it's her job to follow through. I'm not going to apologize for his actions because I don't think I'm the one that needs to do that. Yes, we live in the same house, and it makes it very difficult when your partner, whether it be your husband, your house partner, or your best friend, does something that seems a little embarrassing. And it is embarrassing to me. I'm going to tell you that right now. I am extremely embarrassed by his actions, but I cannot hold myself to that because it has nothing to do with me. And I hope you guys understand that.
Absolutely.
My concern is that I'm going to step on your toes, Cherie. I think you have every right to be angry, but I actually think to a point that you were a little brash. And you have every right to be concerned for your employees, and I commend you for that. But then again, we also need to remember that regardless of how angry we are about something, we need to show each other respect. You needed to show him some and he should have showed you some. And neither person did that. And I'm not condemning you and I'm not giving you a hard time. I just want to know that whenever we have a meeting, regardless of hard feelings and how we feel or how angry we may get, we need to control that and remember that we are professionals. This is a professional meeting, even if we're all volunteers. It is a professional meeting. And we need to maintain those levels of professionalism all the way around.
Carol, if this had been the first time, I think that, yes, you're absolutely right. This is not the first time. This has been going on for several months.
And
I apologize. I just had enough. And I didn't. It was one person's word against another. I had no way of proving this, and I couldn't actually, I really had a hard time believing that this really did happen. Honest to God.
I understand that, and I'm not condemning you in any way. But what I was trying to get across is that regardless of what we see, we all need to be adults about it and bring it forth to the proper channels. And that's what happened today with the complaint. And you did call me and tell me about it. I will speak to him again, but he is his own person and I can't control his actions. I mean, you couldn't control your husband or your wife unless you slapped him against the wall and they accepted it. I don't do that. But I want you all to know that I think it takes a lot of...
Be respectful.
It takes a lot of respect for each other. It takes a lot of courage for many of us to sit up here because this is a thankless job. And I want you all to know that from this point forward, we should move forward with a little more dignity and a little more grace. And hopefully we can get this in the past and move forward. He is a good man. He just sometimes is pretty pig-headed. I hope you all will realize that it's not me that's speaking on behalf of him. It's me that's speaking on behalf of myself. And I want to work with you and continue to work with you as residents. And hopefully we can put this to rest.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Carol.
It looks like we are at item 10 on the agenda, public comments.
I just have an announcement to make. I want everybody to read. Can you hear me?
You have to say your name again.
Okay. Saturday is the
name and address. Your name and address.
Again with that. Yeah. Liz Garcia, 1056 Wood Court.
Every time.
And if you're ever going to, if I change it, will you know?
You'll let us know. Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. Saturday, November 13th at 6 p.m., we are having a pizza party dance. We have a band coming, the Dynamics. From what I understand, they're really good. We'll have enough pizza to fill everyone up. It comes with salad and dessert. The tickets are still on sale. We're not doing too well, so we need some help. And we should really have a good time. It's going to be fun.
What are ticket prices, Liz?
Oh, I'm sorry. Ticket prices for HPPOA members is $12. Anyone else is $15. But that's because we have to pay for the band. It wouldn't be so much if it was...
Is that a person or a couple?
Per person.
Per person. Okay.
What time did you say? Six or
six? Six. It starts at six.
Thank you.
The band starts playing at seven.
Where can we get the tickets?
I'm sorry?
Where can we get the tickets?
Oh, tomorrow and Thursday.
9:30.
Right out here. I'll be there myself selling them.
9:30
to 11. What?
9:30 to 11:30. Anything else?
I think we got it all.
Takes her a little longer to get
is
home.
Is that it? Just remember, I have some brain damage. Anything else?
We're good.
The only reason we ask for address and name, because the person that's doing this meeting or doing the minutes is not here, and so they need that we can have, they need to recognize you off, not just you don't get a look at you, just
okay,
get your voice.
So you can come up next time for me and say, Liz is coming.
Next.
My letter, Anne Marie Ashley, 387 Holiday Park. I have two questions.
I may have missed something here because I was away for a while and I didn't Zoom it. Listen up.
Get real quiet.
I was away this summer, so I'm not sure if I missed something or not. In reference to the marquee, when the marquee was presented, there was a certain dollar amount assigned to the marquee, and it was thought that nothing needed to be changed with the electrical work. Well, now the electrical work needs to be changed. Has it been mentioned what the additional cost for the marquee is going to be? That's my first question.
That cost isn't marquee cost.
I don't have those papers with me. If you want to stop by the office tomorrow, I'll give you the whole, I can show you the packet. Well, it kind of is marquee cost because if the marquee couldn't be unplugged and plugged back in and we have to change the electrical for the marquee, it does pertain to the marquee.
We didn't have there wasn't enough power there.
That was kind of understandable when you go from an old-fashioned one to a LED one. Well, so I really think in the beginning we should have investigated the electrical service.
I asked, and they said, as long as your sign is lit, you have enough electricity to run this sign. Because LEDs take less electricity. But
oh, that was a three-minute mark. Okay. But apparently,
there were other issues in that electric box.
Okay.
For the...
But we still haven't heard. I think it should be publicly announced how much more money is being spent.
Well, it just was, so we're aware. We had to vote on it.
I don't know. I wasn't here.
You weren't here.
I can't remember the amount either.
No, like I said, Anne-Marie.
It was presented and we
voted
on it.
You can go online.
I'll go
on our website.
I'll go back and I'll look then.
Yeah, it's all in the minutes.
My second question is to do with the deed restrictions. How did they get mailed out? Meaning, where did you mail the deed restrictions to? We have lots of people that live in Canada. We have people who don't live in Florida. Were they mailed to their actual address where they live, or where were they sent?
I can answer that. They were Becky Ernest, 205 Burrell Circle. They were mailed to the address that the office has on file as their main mailing address.
Based on the census
and the database.
Okay, because I will check my neighbors who are Canadian and are not here and will not be back till the end of November, beginning of December. They're showed up in their mailbox here. I know that their address, mailing address, is in Canada. I also heard maybe through a rumor that the Canadians were contacted to see where they were supposed to be mailed. I don't think that happened either.
Yes, it did.
No, it didn't.
Yes, it did. There was a few of them that were contacted and asked. They did not get through to all of them.
Okay. Well, I think the vote then is not going to be very accurate because I don't think a lot of people might have them. Just my opinion.
Anybody that did not get their ballot, they can come to the office and ask for a ballot. They will be given a ballot, and also if anybody has a mail ballot that they haven't gotten, give it a little bit more time, but if they haven't gotten it, it can be resent. If they're in Canada or wherever, December 7th.
Any other comments?
Can you guys hear me? Oh, I'm on
the
video.
My name is Bill Demarest. I live at 255 Mystic Boulevard. I want to thank everybody just coming to karaoke. We had 81 people.
Nice.
And thank you.
We want to thank you, Sonny.
Mark Bodo, 121 Holiday Park Boulevard. During the meet and greet of the candidates on October 21st, a question was asked of the candidates. Did anyone tell you what district seat to run for? Karen Allen answered yes. For the record, I would like to know who told Karen Allen what seat to run for. You cannot be told what seat to run for on any board. On October 25th, there was a big to-do about a rumor about the district manager giving a check to somebody, to a candidate, to pay for their application fee. So the district manager explained the process for writing a check. I specifically came up and asked the board, is it your policy to pay the Board of Elections candidate application fee for any board candidate? Joanne Gagan said no from behind me. She's not on the board. The board, more or less, didn't say anything. I bring this up because every candidate that runs for office must sign a legal affidavit of intent that states, we certify that we will not collect, solicit, or accept any contributions, be it a gift, loan, payment, or distribution of money, so on and so forth. I called the supervisor of elections and spoke with the candidate coordinator. He informed me that not one check, but two checks had been written by Holiday Park for the two candidates running on the board. Cherie does not write the checks. Cherie approved the checks, and the treasurer signed the checks. My question is, after asking you what your policy was, why didn't you question this when it came across? Why are we writing checks to the supervisor of elections?
I'll take responsibility for that, Mark. I'll take full responsibility. It was an oversight on my part. We pay the $10. We don't pay the $25.
You explained that.
Right. And so I take responsibility for it. It was just an oversight. It was not favoritism. And as far as Karen Allen goes, when she asked me or anybody else what seat she should run for, she was told to run for the seat she's in, period. No one told her, hey, do this, do that. She was not told. You can't tell anyone. But it was, you know, just run for the seat that you're in, period. That was it. So I don't want people thinking that I gave her some bad advice. That's not up to me at all.
My question to the treasurer is, he's been on this board for many years, and he's been treasurer through several election cycles. Why didn't he question that when he went to sign it? The last meeting I came up, and I made a comment about the front gate being put in. When I went back to my seat, Cheryl Moore, you said, well, warranty or not, the gate has to be fixed. I felt that was dismissive and belittling.
I'm sorry you felt that way, but it was a true statement.
These above actions are just a few examples of why residents have a distrust of the board, and they're afraid to come up here and voice. I'm not afraid to speak up. I thank you for your time, and I hope you were listening.
Mark, I would like to respond to you. I am a signer on the bank account, and I do sign checks. When those two checks came up, I did sign them. However, when I signed those checks, I did not know that we did not pay those fees. When I sign a check, I look at the request, I look at the receipts, and I look at the documents to make sure everything is valid and signed. The request for the check was signed by the district manager. The check for the request for the check was signed by our treasurer. I signed as the assistant treasurer, so I was the third verification. I signed because everything looked legitimate and legal. I did not know that we didn't do that. After research, I found out it's not something we do, but that came up after those checks were written. So I am responsible for signing that check. I will hold my own on that, but I did it out of ignorance.
And I want to add something also. I have never been through an election in this park. I don't even know when there was an election, the last election here. So it was an oversight on my part as well, because of it being an election and the folks that were on the ballot. So I think in my mind, I think that's where the confusion came in as well. The fact that it was an election, they were going through this office, or not this office, but we got the ballots and stuff like that from the Board of Elections. So I think that's where the confusion came in, was the fact that it was an election. Because you can check in the past, we've never done that before. We've never paid the $25. So I believe that's where the confusion came in.
I just want to ensure that we don't get into a practice of, this is our process.
Like I said, Mark, you can check previous years. I believe it's the election, and I believe that's what happened.
I understand that.
Okay, thank you.
I just want to make sure that we're not getting into where checks are written and they come across and we blindly sign. We don't really look at them that close. You answered my question perfectly. Thank you.
I guess the other question that I might have, being ignorant to that aspect of it, is if we wrote those two checks and we had five people running, why weren't there five checks? What happened to the other, there were six people running. What happened?
Because those were the only two on the ballot.
No, they were not.
There was
four people on the ballot and there was only two checks written. The check.
Then I don't know. I can't explain it. I can't.
So, I mean, if we were going to write them for two, we should have written them for all of them, because every candidate must have had to pay the money to apply, correct?
We just need
to
be,
was there just the two?
We just need to be diligent and pay attention to detail.
If somebody didn't pay that maybe should have, why don't we just ask them to reimburse?
No, it's already taken care of.
Okay.
Yeah.
As far as the gate vote, we took, the gate was broken. It was unanimously determined that, you know, let's not put more and more money into the old gate. So without knowing exactly what the warranty was, we voted to go forward and found out the warranty is pretty good the next day, actually that night. Sometime you just got to get things in motion, and nothing would have changed warranty wise. We still would have voted, and we did. And at least we saved, 2 weeks in getting it replaced. And all the homes are at risk without it, somewhat, you know? So.
Annette.
Annette Regas, 409 Holiday. Elaborating on Mark's question. If in doubt, anybody on the board, you, Cherie, or any of the board members, had a question about what was permitted, why did they not call up someone that had that knowledge? There's a lot of cases. Well, also, why wasn't the treasurer writing these checks? Why are they going to the first chair? Isn't he supposed to go and review that? And if he had reviewed the register for the checks, he would have picked up that, you're not supposed to be putting that money out. He needs to pay a little bit more closely to the check register and what they are written for. And you, Cherie, you seem to know very little about a lot of stuff. I think you need to delve into things. You signed the concrete contract and you knew you weren't supposed to. You paid the fees here. I think you need a little bit of a schooling on what's permitted and what's not permitted in this park.
Oh, Annette, please. I've been doing this for 30 years. Okay, you want to nitpick me to death? Go right ahead.
Dave Peck, 1014 Willow Court. You've done a good job of avoiding the deed restriction questions tonight. But the one question I have is, if this passes, when do they go into effect? And following that question, I don't know if you have an answer for that, but you just had 400 letters go out for violations. Assuming you get 90% compliance, which you're going well on its way anyway, you're going to have many meetings you're going to have to set up and deal with this 30 days after they're supposed to get a hearing or at least set up a hearing. And my question is, it says either a trustee or a committee member on this to deal with this. Who is going to do it? And what part of the Sunshine Laws are going to be affected? It's just questions. But I want you folks to think about it and be prepared, because this is coming down the line. And that's all. I'm not trying to put you on the spot or anything. I want you to be prepared to know this will be our procedure. If this happens, these will be our next steps. And that's my concern for tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other comments?
Yeah.
The one other thing was at the last ACPC meeting, there's supposed to be a trustee there. Hopefully when they have their next meeting, he can attend and maybe he can shed some light on it also. So please, if he does, it can make it. I'll be there too.
Just to clarify something on the enforcement of these violations, according to the deed restrictions, there's a letter, you got 30 days. There's a second letter, you got 30 days. There's a third letter that's a registered letter, then you got 21 days. So no liens will be put on until we reach that point. And everyone has a right to appeal to the trustees for hardship or extenuating circumstances or whatever it might be. So 81 days is, according to what I'm reading multiple times, verified with the ACC. And so we're a ways away from any action, so to speak.
That is correct with the present language of the deed restrictions. The new deed restrictions, if approved, drop that 81 days to 30 days. Okay, well, so that was my reason for you guys to stay on top of it.
We're certainly operating under the old right now.
Yes, and that is fine. And I don't know when the effective date is going to be.
Good question, though.
That's all I'm asking.
Does anyone have an answer? Jack? Or?
Joanne Gagan. I believe it would become effective once it's filed with the county.
State, then it has to be filed.
County, state, somebody. Like, we have to file that. So I think that's when it would become effective, I believe. Well, the only thing I wanted to say, I don't want to beat a dead horse about this checks, but quite frankly, if they were done in error, I believe whoever those checks were written for should reimburse the district.
Right. I agree.
Yeah. I think that would be appropriate, and it would put everything, well, not everything, but whatever. And just another reminder for the new people and everybody, trustees, remember your sunshine law. Remember your sunshine law. You're not supposed to talk about certain things once you leave that table.
Right.
Be careful.
Are you accusing someone? Joanne, are you saying that someone has?
Sounds like a pool road rumor to me.
Mark Bodo, 121 Holiday Park Boulevard. The checks were returned by the supervisor of election, returned to Holiday Park, and they were voided. So there were no monies paid out to anybody. The checks that were made out by Holiday Park, the supervisor of election returned them to the candidates because you have to pay by personal check or by cash. They were returned to Holiday Park, and they were voided.
Good information.
Should have said it in the first time.
Good information. Bruce?
Good evening, Bruce.
Bruce Crabb, 442 Neighborly Court. Two things. When we replace the gate down at the guardhouse, let's save the old one, please, and save the arm. We've already paid for it. That arm is brand new. We might have to replace an arm if somebody drives through it. So let's save the parts. No? Okay. Secondly, on the deed restrictions, the committee's worked many hours on this. We've gone through a lot of meetings here at the board about it. I hope sincerely that everybody will vote in favor of this. There's been a lot of talk and a lot of chatter on Facebook. I do not do Facebook, but I have had phone calls. There has been so much total information on Facebook, it is unbelievable. And it is not doing the park any good to try to destroy the park on Facebook. I'm sorry, folks. We have worked. Now, if you vote the deed restrictions down, you're going to have the same thing you got now that you can't enforce. That was one of the things our committee was charged with. We removed all of the stuff we couldn't enforce, all of the owner in good standing stuff. We tried to simplify it. We put in the restrictions on the amount of rentals we can have. We put in the thing that if you have a problem, you want to buy a second house, you can. We've done a lot of the things the people wanted. So let's get behind us and vote for this, people.
I have one question. Joan mentioned that it's going to take effect once it's filed. Well, with the 430 to 490 violation letters that went out, most new things that come in don't apply to what's already, say, like if you get arrested and they change the law after you're arrested kind of thing, right? Are we going to grandfather in to the new deed restrictions, the 400 plus letters? That wasn't on the ballot. Okay. I think we should enforce it to the old deed restrictions. And if there's new violations, to the new. That's my opinion. I don't like this grandfathering in punishment or whatever and cutting 81 days down to 30 with letters that are already out during an election. That's just plain wrong.
Right.
You're right. Yes, right.
So that's grandfathered.
Election for board.
And that's everything. What you're saying.
They'll be under the old restrictions.
Grandfathered in, meaning it'll be enforced under the old deed restrictions?
I think you're talking two different things.
Yeah.
We have 400 plus
letters. You're talking 81 days to complete to cure the violation before you get fined.
Or
is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
When she says grandfathered in, she's talking about a violation that maybe it was okay now, but it's not going to be okay in the new deed restrictions. No.
Right.
Right.
Okay. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Because there's 400 plus letters out there, you know.
We're all
and,
talking the same thing.
We don't need to be changing midstream while we're trying to correct all that. Okay, that makes sense.
Anne-Marie Ashley, 387 Holiday Park. I just have a question about the deed restrictions, and probably I should have went to the meeting, and I didn't. I've lived here 5 years. I voted, I think, once on deed restrictions. It was one thing that we voted on. This time, it's a number of things in one package. So why did we do that? Because I may agree with some of the things, but I may not agree with all the things. So now I either have to vote a yes for everything, even though I don't agree, or vote no, even though I agree on some of them. So why was it done that way?
The guy behind Bruce. You is going to answer that.
Bruce Crabb, 442 Neighborly Court. To answer your question first, the reason it wasn't sent out to vote on every individual item was, well, take for an example the owner in good standing things. We could vote out three of them and vote in three of them, and we've accomplished nothing. That's the problem. And we wrestled with this a lot on how to vote this. I spent 2 hours talking to the board about this. The board agreed to vote it as an item. Because if you voted in part of it and voted out part of it, we've accomplished nothing. And that's what the problem is. We've accomplished nothing. To answer your question now on the 30-30, whatever it is, We have a problem with the time element on this. We had already approved the ACC rules and regulations, and they started working on it prior to the deed restrictions being done.
Right.
It's just kind of overlapped, and it just worked out that way. Mm-hmm. Pretty much once the deed restriction is done and recorded at the district court, we will try to pick up from that and use the 30-day system. Because the 30, 30, 21, or whatever it was, it was virtually impossible. And even Kyle sent Sharia, said we should just go to the 30 days, remember? Kyle sent her an email on that probably 6 months ago.
For new violations, I agree. For 400-plus letters already out there with multiple violations on some of them, I totally disagree.
Okay, I can sympathize with that.
Sympathy isn't it.
We're talking enforcement, liens, hiring contractors to start doing things to people's homes. And the letters were sent out under the old deed restriction guidelines, and we need to stick to it till those violations are cleaned up. And then anything new, if the new deed restriction passes, then it'll be cut down to 30 days or whatever.
Well, then what's in place is already in place, and it's been in place for a couple months now.
Right, and it needs to, that is what we need to use going forward till all those letters are satisfied one way or the other.
Right.
Not affected by a new change in deed restrictions.
I agree.
Okay.
And we hadn't, okay, I don't want to step on any toes. I think that it could have been done better. I think that when the ACC first got into this, first of all, there was only two members on the ACC. Wow. About 4 months ago, I think.
What?
No. There were two members when we had the meeting in the library. There was only two members. Ron had already resigned. Now he's back on. Okay, whatever. There was only two people sitting in that room, whatever. Okay, now we have a full ACC board. They are trying to do the best they can on the violations. I think they missed the boat on one thing. Because when they went out, they should have talked with the people and tried to smooth it off and say, you know, you really got to fix this or you really got to fix that. And
please, Karen.
My understanding was they just sent out 450 letters rather than speaking to the people. That's what we heard at the meeting. I don't know.
Ron Foot, 214 Holiday Park. And yes, I am the chairman of the ACC. The board asked us to do this. And they were complaining, the residents were complaining on being selective enforcement. So yes, we wrote 480 letters. And because the management here and the past management hadn't gone through and ever done all the houses at once, there were violations. And the violations have the 30-day, 21-day, then when it's not corrected, the manager has the right to go in and correct the problem. But there's also a fine system, and I didn't bring my list with me, but it starts out with the first violation is like $100, and then it goes between $25 and $200 a day for the violation, depending on what the violation is. I have the paperwork, thanks to Dave Peck. He was on the board before me, several times before me, and he was able to bring up the violation amounts to me, and they will be posted, and maybe that will help some of the people speed up their ACC violations. But I do want to thank all the people that have called us, asked me to come back, or Bill, or the other members to come back and reinspect, and we've gotten the majority of them done. And we have extended a few because the Canadians didn't get their letters until maybe 2 weeks ago. So then they only had 2 weeks to get down here, and our great president wouldn't let the people in the country. So how can they fix their problem? And we did extend some from the north, from New Mexico. It's not just the northern snowbirds. It's the other people that come in. If they can't get their letter on time, some of them only had 4 days to come down here to do something. So we extended some of the people, especially with something minor. If they didn't have their numbers in the mailbox, Well, they didn't have the numbers on the mailbox. They're not living here, so no one has to go there. And we've also had a lot of the park residents that spent the time to put their numbers on the house and on the mailboxes that had extra numbers. So when me and the wife go around and they have a numbers missing on one side, we have spare numbers and we're taking care of that for them. So we're trying to be accommodating to the community. And we got to follow the rules that were in effect when we put the letters out. And I hope that solves some of the problems. If not, come to the next ACC meeting and we can discuss it more.
Thank you, Ron.
Sam Aloisio, 112 Holiday Park. I'm kind of confused. Are these deed restrictions or are they park restrictions that we're trying to vote on?
Deed restrictions.
How can you change my deed? So are they deed restrictions or are they park restrictions? They're restrictions for the park.
They're the deed restrictions for the park. It has nothing to do with your personal deed.
It's a legal term of the, it's a legal document that's filed with the county, and that's what it's called.
Deed. So it has nothing. It has nothing to do with my deed.
Not with your deed. It's the, because you live in a deed restricted community, that's the term that's used on the document. But it's not your personal deed. It's
your
deed. Park's deed.
Your deed.
So in essence, Sam.
It's a park restriction.
Yeah, park restrictions is what they basically are.
It's what you signed up to live in is because we can tell you what to do by this document or what not to do. And when you sign that application, you agreed to follow these restrictions.
Those park restrictions.
Yes.
Yeah. The thing is your deed gives you the ownership, Sam. Your deed gives you ownership of your property. We as a park can put restrictions on your property, which we call your deed, because the deed shows you ownership of your property. And so we restrict that, what you can do with that property.
In other words, you're telling me again that it is a deed restriction.
Yeah, because your deed represents the ownership you have in that property. Because of this paper, I own that over there. Because of this paper, most people say when they own it, they can do whatever they want with it. Well, there are restrictions on what you can do with it. And that's all. That's where the short name came up, deed restrictions. In other words, your ownership is restricted a little bit on what you can do.
I've never heard that. I was in real estate for 40 years, and I just never heard that.
Yeah, it's a legal. It's not a restriction on the ownership itself. It's restriction on the actions of your ownership.
Right, which is a park restriction.
So,
I think we agree. Just terminology. Thank you.
That's what it's handed to us.
I just don't want anything going against my deed. That's what.
Nothing's going on your deed unless you don't fix your violation. You're good, Sam, I'm sure.
We're looking at trustee remarks.
Mr. Chairman, I got a statement. I got to get it closer, huh? As I've been working outside around my house, I've had a number of people stop and ask about the deed restrictions. And I want to just pass along to y'all that one of the things was asked, why didn't, once COVID hit, why wasn't this put on hold? Because when I mentioned that, I was told, well, it was on Zoom. They said, yeah, but at that time you couldn't hear half of the stuff that was going on. And I'll be honest with you, a number have asked me what I'm going to vote, and I won't tell. I haven't even told my wife what she has to vote for. But she made me cookies because I didn't. So, but I'm afraid. I'm going to tell you right now, from probably 15 people that talked to me, this is not going to pass. because they want to be able to vote for each section. It would have taken one sheet of paper to allow them to do it, and everything that passed would have been good. A new committee, not the same committee, a new committee could have come back and fixed what was rejected. Because for my own field, there's one spot that I don't like. And do I vote yes or do I vote no? I mean, you know, it's a hard decision. But that's my observation. And I don't work outside anymore because I don't want anybody to bother me.
Any other comments here? Terry?
The next good size project I got going on for y'all is striping. That's because after the sidewalks were built, you know, there was a lot of fine gravel and whatever and on the streets. The thing about striping is that it's not going to get done until we get the streets cleaned. So that needs to be done. We need to think about that. Now, I did receive a bid through Cherie today from Penson Contractor Services. He's the guy who was general contractor of the sidewalks for $3,500. But he uses a different truck than we used the last time we did this. The last time we did this, it was with a vacuum truck. And with a vacuum truck, you could normally put a lot of effort to it and clean basically the streets, which he did for $1,000. But it's not, a vacuum truck is not going to be able to clean the streets after the sidewalks were built, not with all the residues on the streets right now. And considering the striping we have to do, we wouldn't clean, you know, basically. So what I'm doing here is asking the board to vote on a motion that will hopefully you'll present, allowing Penson Contracting to do the job for up to $3,500.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that amount, Terry. You cut out.
$3,500.
Terry, why is it necessary to clean before striping?
Because the gravel and stuff prevents the paint to adhere to the streets.
And just brushing that with a commercial brush broom would not clean that off as you go?
No.
A blower blowing 20 feet in front of you wouldn't clean it off good enough for the paint?
No. Just it? Okay. No, it will not, because these are sidewalks that have been built, and they're concrete, and they form them, and they crush it, and they pick up the old sidewalks, and it has to be cleaned up. Now, if you can't see that.
No, I'm just asking. You said mostly pieces of concrete.
Yeah.
Little pebbles or gravel had to be cleaned up.
Yeah, fine gravel. Yes, yes.
And I was just thinking if you had a strong blower, if that would blow that away.
It blows it somewhere else, excuse me.
Well, I know, but not where you paint, not the 15 feet you got to paint.
I've got to paint the lines on both sides of every street throughout this place.
Yeah.
That's about 6 miles worth of line. I've got to paint now crosswalks.
But now is he going to be cleaning in front of you, or are they going to be clean like four or five days before you get to him?
Right. Probably he will be going by his schedule. He'll clean as soon as he can clean, and as soon as he wants $3,500. And we'll start striping right after that.
Yeah, and it will take you a couple weeks to paint all of them, if not longer?
It'll take a couple weeks because of the lines that everyone wants on the side of the street.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Is that going to include the entire road, like all the sand that collects in the middle because of drainage?
Yep.
But we're going to be paying about 10 cents a foot, so I think it's a good idea.
Stupid question. We just painted those stop signs and everything in the roads just recently.
Yes.
We did that in-house. If we go with this big heavy-duty street cleaner and scrub all that junk that's on the roads, that extra concrete and stuff that needs to come up, and I know what you're talking about. It's everywhere.
Are we going to have to redo all that work again? Is that going to peel that up? Because that stuff is already looking like it's pulling loose in some spots.
No, I don't think so.
I'm not planning on redoing
all of the area. Considering that it's not costing me anything except the cost of paint and
so you're just talking
in-house
about,
employees.
You're just talking about the white stripes that go down both sides. That's
yes, and some additional crosswalks.
Any place where there's a where the sidewalk's here and stops, and then you got to walk over here, we want to stripe it so that people don't get run over.
Well,
there's
I have
a couple spots.
Okay. So. But it's not gonna. We're not gonna have to redo all those stop areas that you just did.
No.
Okay.
You probably won't have to do hardly any of the stop bars that are on the cul-de-sacs, because there's no sidewalks in the cul-de-sacs except for Orange Grove.
Okay.
We have to add the glass beads, Dennis. They're glass beads. They're called. It's a bag. It's full of glass beads that are made for that. State Highway uses them, as a matter of fact. State Highway, the glass beads come out while the paint is being sprayed. But we don't have anywhere sophisticated that sort of system. So we spray the line, and then somebody walks behind and broadcasts the glass beads onto the white paint. And that does glow in the dark when your headlights hit it.
Another stupid question. So you say we're cleaning the roads.
Yes.
And it's necessary to do it before we paint.
Yes.
Now, I understand cleaning the roads. However, if we're doing the painting in-house.
Yes.
Yes. So if we clean the roads, like say next week, and you start painting, but it's because we're doing it in-house, it's going to be a slow process. It's not going to happen overnight.
As fast as I can walk.
Well, yeah, well. Yeah, I can walk faster than you. No offense. I'm kidding. But I'm just saying, it may take 2 weeks to get the striping done. In 2 weeks, there can be a heck of a lot of crap that builds back up. I'm going to have to clean them again. I mean, do you see where I'm coming from? How many times are we going to have to clean before it gets done? Or will one cleaning be suffice?
This is a truck that brooms it up. This is not a vacuum truck. This is a truck that brooms it up. So it's just like your house. You know, you're going to have a broom and a pan, and it's going to broom it up, and then you're going to throw it in the trash can. So idea being, you're going to get rid of it. It's not going to just be there again the next day and blow all over the place because you swept it up.
Yeah, but we've got lots. I mean, we've got lots on the park, like the one at where the house that came out on 1183 Greenview, they put that ride down. But because it's not taking effect completely, there's constantly sand washing from that property into the road. So could that affect the job that you're doing? I mean, because
get to the microphone, they're saying.
If it could affect the job, is it going to have to be done multiple times in that area?
Okay, listen, I don't know anything about ryegrass, but this is a sweeper. If you can sweep up ryegrass...
No, I'm not talking about the grass. I'm talking about the dirt that's running off into the road. Is that going to affect your job? That's what I'm trying to say. We've got areas that are draining dirt. Is that dirt going to affect the job that you're doing because it's going to get into the road where you're trying to clean and then paint over?
Well, we're in the dry season, and this job will be done in the dry season. If we were doing it in July, we'd be cleaning up because a lot of washout occurs from driveways and the edging the lawn crew does. But we're going to do this in the dry season. Might have to look at what we're about to do, sweep up a little here and there, but we're not going to need to bring the equipment back in here and sweep the whole park. We'll take care of it with brooms.
I just want to make
sure.
There
might be a little bit, but we'll take care of it.
I'm asking stupid questions. I just want to make sure that people understand if we spend the $3,500, it's just a one-time thing and it's not going to have to be twice.
Oh, no.
Okay, that's all I'm asking.
Okay, just a little bit of background. We had a person.
Joanne Gagan from.
I still live at 241, I think. Okay, we used to have a grounds crew, and they were the ones that annually did the striping. And it lasted a good year. What's been done has not lasted a good year. The only time we ever brought anyone in to do the white striping that you're talking about on the sides of the road. We paid extra money to have them go around and throw those beads on. It was a disaster. A disaster. And you want to do the same thing? Is that what I'm understanding?
Joanne,
it
works.
Do it by hand?
It works. Now, State Highway would not use that if it didn't work. It works. And I've driven up to these streets at night with my headlights on, and I've seen the reflection that it gives off. I've seen it.
Okay. All right. And you're going to do it by hand?
You broadcast the glass beads by hand.
Okay.
How else you going to get them down there?
I'm just saying, when we had it done, it was a disaster.
I don't know what you're calling a disaster. I've done it for 8 years. I know how to do it.
Then somebody with a big hand went over here, but somebody with a little hand.
Okay, we'll find the person with a big hand or little hand.
It was awful. Are you going to use better paint than you did before?
Now, let's get an understanding here. When we first painted the doggone paint for the gate, it wasn't the best quality of paint.
Yeah, it's pitiful.
And that's why when we painted it the second time, it was a better quality of paint. Now, you understand that the lane going out at the gate and the lane coming in are two different products. They didn't do it at the same time with the same product. The guy told me that.
Who's they?
Whoever put the asphalt down. They put different consistency of asphalt down for the right lane going out and the left lane coming in. Now, this is getting way too complicated, I guess, for you. So I'm just telling you, we got the better quality of paint when we did the entire project. And it looks good. It looked good. It looks good right now.
Okay.
Mark Boda, 121 Holiday Park. This is just a comment. If things are going to be discussed like this and thinking about a vote, I think it should be put on the agenda.
Nat Regas, 409. I just want to make a point to make sure that the wreaths that we have to be displayed for Veterans Day are put out for display. Because for a couple of years, they weren't. We had residents that donated very nice wreaths, memorial wreaths for Veterans Day. I want to make sure that they're put out. Any answer?
I don't know.
Somebody?
Who has those, the district or HPPOA?
HPPOA might have them. I haven't been in the closet, so I don't know. But now they don't have them? Well, what happened to those?
I'm trying to get a vote here. I'm still discussing. I'm trying to get a vote to get the money to pay for a guy cleaning the streets. I never got anything on that. Never got a motion. Never got a vote. I'm asking you for that.
I'm going to make the motion that we table it and put it at the next meeting because I think we need more information.
Now, you do that, and it's going to be longer before you get a street swipe.
I understand. But there's just too many questions right now, I think.
What questions? I'll answer every question you have. What questions? We're just talking about street sweeping.
Right.
It's a common thing to do in projects. And
I think the question is if you sweep it now, and yet I know you're talking about the concrete stuff getting up, not just like the regular dirt stuff, which it'll pick up the regular dirt too. But I think if they sweep the streets tomorrow and you don't start painting until Monday, how much dirt is on those things and will it affect the paint sticking?
Five pounds of dirt. How am I going to know how much dirt is on?
I know. Well, that's what I'm.
So it could happen in a day. It could happen in a month.
It's just street sweeping.
Becky Ernest, 205 Burrell Circle. Terry, you're out of order, actually. You don't bring up something to be voted on under trustee comments. This should have been brought up earlier, and the board should have had a whole lot more information than what they've got now.
Yeah. All right, look.
Thank you.
You don't get the street sweeped, I don't stripe them. and that's the way it is.
Maybe you could get it one more price, Terry. You know, excuse just me. For comparison.
I have been working on getting street sweeping. That's why we had a vacuum truck that wasn't as good a quality as last time. So now we're getting a truck that's better quality with brooms to pick that stuff up. And you're killing me.
Did I make a motion?
But say, you know, we won't do anything.
Did I make a motion?
I won't stripe. So call it a day.
Excuse I think me. I made a motion that we table it.
And I will second that motion until we have our next meeting with further information, and then we can move forward. I think we need to do a little more research. Okay, can anybody answer? Where are the wreaths? Wait. Let us do that. And then we'll answer your question.
Let's deal with the motion that was for tabling. Any other comment?
It's not at your...
Okay, trustees.
Okay.
All in favor of tabling the motion till the next meeting, raise your right hand.
Here we go.
It's a tie.
All opposed? Raise your right hand.
Yeah, 4-4.
I make the motion that we go ahead with the floors or the sweeping so that we can start the striping.
I second the motion.
Yeah.
Right.
We and don't have that motion.
Tie. So
he made that motion. He presented the information.
He asked for someone to make the motion.
I did. Yes. I asked for a motion from the board. That's what I did.
And the results were the tie. So now we just got a motion and a second to go ahead with it and see if maybe we don't end up with a tie. Although it's doubtful, it'll be different. But I know Terry will have a nice crew of volunteers like this morning out there. And if we need to do a little sweeping because it's been a few days and we got a little rain, we'll be out there making sure it's ready for paint. So I wouldn't worry about that.
We going to vote on this or not? The motion was second.
There was a motion to hire the street sweeper at $3,500 from Penson Contracting before striping can be done.
And who seconded it?
Gary.
The motion and Gary.
I seconded
it. Richard made it. Gary seconded it.
Okay, any other discussion?
Are we going to vote?
Well, this discussion happens first.
Oh, sorry. Oh, my gosh. Let me try it again. Any other discussion?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our chairman votes on all motions.
Our chairman votes.
It's in the, yes, it is. Well, there's not usually a
tie. Generally, there shouldn't be a tie because we have nine.
Right.
There shouldn't be a tie.
There should never be a tie because we have nine board members, but at this point. I understand needing to have the work done. I'm not saying that it shouldn't be done. I'm just thinking there's too many questions to do it tonight. I'm only asking that you give us 2 weeks to do the research. And then we can move forward. I mean, 2 weeks is not going to kill us in time frame. It may get a little closer to the holidays than what we want. But I think we need to make certain before we spend another $3,500, because we have been on a spending spree, that we need to take a deep breath, take two steps back, and look at the project before we continue to move forward, because there are a lot of questions that can't be answered right now. And we want to make sure that if we're going to do the project, we're spending the $3,500. It's not a lot of money, but yes, it is a lot of money. But when we go to do the painting and the striping, we want to make sure that it's done right so that we're not doing it 6 months later again because we ended up not doing it right. So I'm just saying that we need to take the 2 weeks, give us the opportunity to look at it, think it over, not rush into another bid just to spend some more money because we can raise our right hands and do the project right.
You're never going to have the street absolutely clean. There'll be volunteers in front of the machine, I'm sure, cleaning up some of them. Terry would like to get it started. I've already told him I'd give him a hand. And there's a whole bunch of other ones, I guess, that suggested. There's roughly 6.5-7 miles. This isn't going to happen overnight. He's an old man, and I'm older than he is.
Hey,
so.
I mean, that was my question. I mean, that was my comment. And I'm not criticizing you, but if you had heard what I said, if we clean the streets tomorrow, and I'm just using tomorrow as a time frame, and it's a week later that we get to start the striping, and I'm not saying that it would be a week later. It could be the very next day, but it's going to take us a week to maybe 2 weeks to get the painting finished. And I'm just using these as basic time frames for discussion. Is the paint going to continue to stick upon streets that have not been cleaned for that 2 week time frame? Because we do have lots in our park that have dirt that gush whenever it rains, and we're looking at rain according to the extended forecast the next week. So we could end up with all that garbage back in the streets, and then you're wasting your time putting paint down that's not going to adhere. And that's an additional cost. And then it's an additional cost later because we have to turn around and redo it. So give us a little idea. I mean, I'm asking for the time to make certain that we're doing it right. I don't want to see us spend that money twice and do the job twice when we can do it right the first time. Well, that's all I'm saying. I could be wrong. I'm not a construction person.
Yeah, and I understand that, Carol. I mean, it'll probably be, what, a week before the machine would get here? We don't really have. So we start working on it, and yes, it rains. It doesn't matter if it's 6 months from now we start the sweeping of the floor. We are going to have to go in front of that machine and clean areas no matter what happens. Unless that machine is tied to the back of that sweeper, that's going to be a problem. And we need volunteers to help with the brooms. Am I right, Terry? Do we need volunteers?
Yes. The last time we did this in the summertime, we had a volunteer who did nothing but blow prior to the area, every area prior to us.
Any other striping discussion?
Gentlemen.
Jim Quirk, 379 Holiday Park. Do we have anyone that comes in here to sweep?
No. Not that I know of.
About 2 or 3 weeks ago, the wife and I were coming home. It was dark, and we'd be coming up the main drag, and there was a sweeper in here. And he was doing about 35 miles an hour up and down the side streets, and he wasn't doing anything, you know?
Sweeper?
There was a sweeper machine in the park here a while back.
Yeah.
Yes, there was a sweeper machine, but I don't know who it was. I just assumed either. It was someone that came in periodically.
I thought it had something to do with the sidewalks being put in or whatever.
No.
But I mean, it was just dust. You didn't.
We can't hear you, Bill. I mean, I can hear you, but the audience can't.
You know, we're.
We can't hear because
if you shut off, it would.
Approximately 2 or 3 weeks ago, the wife and I were coming home. It was dark out, and we're coming up the main drag, and there was a street sweeper in front of us, and he was doing probably 35 miles an hour, just all around the side streets, and he wasn't doing anything. You know, I don't even know if he had the brush down, but it was a lot of dust.
I think that was a mosquito sprayer.
It wasn't mosquito.
No, yes. No.
That's what I thought
it was. It was mosquito spray.
Mosquito spray.
No.
That's what it was. Yes, it was. It was the mosquito. They were spraying for mosquitoes.
He was spraying up here. There was stuff coming out of his
vehicle.
They were spraying for mosquitoes.
That was two different sessions. Yes, we have had the mosquito sprayers in here twice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know that for a fact.
Well, I didn't
but
see anything come out.
I did see a street sweeper in here. Yeah, I did about a couple of weeks ago or so, maybe a month ago.
I thought it had to do with the sidewalks, but I mean, the guy was useless.
Yeah, well, yeah.
No.
It was.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Patty Pack 1014 Willow.
Patty, we can't hear you either, honey.
Patty Pack 1014 Willow Court. Do you have paperwork on the striping?
What kind of paperwork are you talking about?
Anything. If you don't have paperwork on the striping with the bids and everything else, how can you vote?
Well, this isn't striping. This is sweeping.
And striping, you're doing a vote on
in-house.
Both.
In-house.
No,
in-house.
We're only in-house. Doing. We're only.
Do you have paperwork
sweeping.
On that?
Yeah, the sweeping or this
whatever you yes. have a motion on.
We have for, this,
and that's $3,500.
Yes, just for the sweeping.
And you okay?
And I to answer your question, I think we're doing the striping in-house. As to what it will cost us to do the striping, we do not have. So we can't present that to you. Correct, Terry? You don't have a price on that yet?
No. I get the paint.
It's just buying the paint because we bought the striper already.
Right. Yeah, we've bought the striper. We just have to kind of estimate what the paint's going to cost. I mean, do you know?
I'll call up and ask them for five-gallon containers of paint because I know it's probably going to take us to from 8 o'clock until 10 o'clock to do five gallons of paint. That's the way I think about this. And then I'll call for another 5 gallons.
Were you part of the painting when they did the stop signs? Were you in on that at all when they were doing those stop things on the road? You know what I'm talking about?
Well, I did all the painting.
Okay. So do you have a record of what, how much paint that took and what it cost per gallon?
Because they had to be billed for it.
Okay, then maybe we should look at that to see what it's going to potentially cost to do the striping.
We're talking about sweeping right now. Let's talk about sweeping. That's where we are.
Becky Ernest, 205 Burrell Circle. If there is this much contention back and forth, I don't understand what 2 weeks will matter if you wait for 2 weeks to get more stuff, get more information on it. I don't understand why you're.
I don't understand what information you want on it. It's just sweeping the street.
Okay.
My God.
Yeah. It was not on the agenda.
That's why I said, let's table it, put it on the agenda. We've had at least three people say the same thing. And as trustees, we need to follow an agenda.
You can't bring things
when we're spending
up
money.
Trustee comments and ask for a vote on something.
I've seen it done
typically
before.
No, we shouldn't. No. If there's an emergency, we can. No, it's not.
Question here. Why is it, does it seem to, oh, Annette Regas 409. Why does it seem that all of these projects that are being suggested, there is no dollar, there's no details. Do you think maybe like we want to know how much it's going to cost since we've laid out almost $500,000 for the sidewalks? And then now as a front gate, you want the people to decide three options. Well, where are your drawings? What are you proposing? Coming in here to pick something.
That's already been settled, Annette. I got to go out and get prices on those
right,
things.
Right, but come. You come back when you have the information. You don't tell us and say, well, I don't have it. I'll come back in 2 weeks. And this here, there's no life crisis if it gets done or not. Wait until you have all the information of what it's going to cost. Why is there a bit of bickering? Just postpone it. Nobody will die if they don't have the white line on the side of the road.
Might.
Yeah, we need a vote.
Has the board already approved the money for the actual striping?
No. The conversation. The vote, the motion is right now to approve $3,500. We have a dollar amount, Annette, $3,500 to sweep the streets by Penson Contractor. It was made by Richard Brooks, seconded by Gary Valentine. I believe we need to call for the vote.
Before we call for the vote, I have one last question, and I apologize for extending this out. Generally, when we go for bids, we have three bids to go for. We've only got the one. We don't have to. I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry, my mistake, and thank you very much for clarifying that. What did I say? Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say Gary Valentine? I'm sorry. Correct me, Gary Vincent. It's GV. We'll see what I type.
It's okay.
Okay, let's do a vote.
Are we ready for a vote?
I just said it is to sweep the streets at $3,500 from Penson Contractor Services.
All in favor, raise your right hand.
It passed.
Now it passed. All opposed?
5-3, it passes.
I have a,
yes, I'm very
I have a question. Did you, somebody requested that we acknowledge the no votes. Who were the no votes?
Oh.
So that shows in the minutes.
Yep. Carol Summers, no. Carol Moore,
Jack Emmerich.
Okay. That means the other five?
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. Okay. Now.
Come up.
Please.
I'm sorry, I never did get an answer. You couldn't have any custodians go home for those reasons that should be placed out front of the bed instead. Do you want me to answer that? Yes. Memorial Day, I went to
I'm sorry.
No, Mary, I'll answer this. Yes. Yes. We had to clean out this room because of the fire marshal. So the wreaths were taken out of here and they were put either in the storage area down by the garage in the, no, where are they, Joan? All right. Well, they're in the building. I'm not sure where maintenance put them. They're not in the crisp. They're definitely here. Yeah. They donated them. Allison and Gail, but they didn't pay for them. We did. To my knowledge, we've always put them out there, but we'll make sure they're out there. Okay, Annette, we'll take care of it, Annette. We'll take care of it.
I would like to make a motion that we adjourn if
no,
there's no additional comments.
I have a question on deed restrictions.
Oh, there's a question.
Go ahead.
Please. I haven't been able to speak.
I apologize.
That's okay. Has it been determined what date that the deed restriction ballots will be opened? And do we vote on that and make that determination? Or is it the day they're received or the day after? I mean, it's a public opening, correct?
Yes, the last day. And you guys can help me if you will. The last day to receive them is December 7th.
No, I thought they had to be postmarked by December 7th.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. Postmarked by December 7th. Well, that's you. If you guys have determined that, that's what they're asking. I'm out of it.
I think it ought
is that
be
something we don't
opening.
Need to determine right now, then, is what we're saying? We can do it at another meeting?
At the next meeting.
Okay. Okay. Yep.
Sometimes. That's right.
So we need it on the agenda.
I'm waiting for a motion.
I make
adjourn.
The motion to adjourn if there's no additional comment.
All in favor, say aye.
That's okay.
Aye.
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 Adjourned.
Thank you.
No. I just had my notes here. I wanted to get it done.
What?
There we go. Very good.
You're right. I don't know what to tell you. We have voted on things that have been brought before. Yes, we're supposed to.
Thank you for the information, though.
But our rules override that. We do have, it's in our bylaws that the chairman does vote because we normally have 9 members. Well, we don't normally.